The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, let us not be children about God. When we rebel and disappoint him, he does not like it. When our kids rebel and disappoint us, we do not like it either. The difference is that God knows how to use and not abuse his anger. Ooh. Next, the key is to understand that God returns us from our failures and our faults. We lose, when we do stuff wrong, the sweetness of the fellowship due to that arrogance, but we never lose the eternal commitment that he made to us. And finally, God will not let the treasures that we have laid up in heaven be lost. He guards them. They're in safe keeping with the Lord, just as we are in safe keeping in the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. Comes right to my desk. 214-210-8483. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Terrific T answers the phone. That's terrific. You can do this for anything that's going on. Maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's a praise report. Maybe you want to answer Bible trivia. Maybe you want to share something the Lord's working on in your life. Maybe you have a general question. Maybe you're just trying to make certain things connect. Maybe you just want to be heard and need somebody to affirm you. All of that is okay. We are your brothers and sisters helping, as the day gets closer, helping one another be strengthened in the kingdom of God. That is our big goal. Get ready. I'm going to do the trivia in just a second. I do want to remind you that any topic is open for conversation. The main reason why is because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, ready for our Bible trivia? A little tougher question. A little tougher, but not a lot tougher. You'll find out that all of these trivia questions have to do with caves, so that may help. What prophet fleeing from Jezebel hid in a cave? What prophet fleeing from Jezebel hid in a cave? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. You can send me fish waves in the ocean, but I'm not in the water, so I don't think I will get them. You know the Aquaman thing where he goes with the fish? I don't know. I just thought of that. Okay. We're going to do DNA because otherwise, poor
Or do you just like, why do I put up with this?
I don't know. They don't pay enough, I can tell you that. Let's do DNA. DNA is our building blocks of our faith. We kind of look at it differently than other people. We use this as launching pads for daily activities, no matter what we face. The D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, 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 daily. I cannot say that enough. Daily, 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 daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N part. And A, always be ready to...
to serve.
To serve. I took your two. I took your two line. It's to serve, which is the most important thing in the context of, it shows you are connected to God, ready to advance his kingdom. And the people that are around you are the people that he uses you to connect the kingdom to. So it all kind of makes sense. You may become a conduit. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready to serve. Okay? Let's do a real quickie, quick call, quick push on the website, which is the good place that you can give if you want to, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, real quick on the trivia question. Remember, if you're going to call, you call the 972-445-0770. If you're going to text, you text 214-210-8483. And the trivia question, what do you do with the trivia question? The trivia question is, what prophet fleeing from Jezebel hid in a cave? That's pretty straightforward. Most people should get that. Let's get into this teaching. This is some, I just love stuff like this. This is my problem. We are in Ezra, and we are in Ezra chapter 5, and we're going to be picking it up right about verse 11. So I want to read this to you. This is really just a wonderful. This was, and we talked about this last week. This was their answer. We are the servants of God of heaven and earth. We are rebuilding the temple that was built here many years ago. By a great king of Israel. That's a reference to Solomon, by the way. Here's verse 12. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar. This is Ezra 5:12. Listen. But because our ancestors angered the Lord of heaven, he abandoned them to the king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed his temple. Let me just say this real quickly. God does not abandon you forever, ever. Okay? But that doesn't mean that when we do something wrong or we do something inappropriate or we do something incorrect, that God doesn't have his anger in perfect tone reach out to us and discipline us. If you don't think that God disciplines, just take your Bible, throw it out. Okay? Because you'd have to throw out multiple passages. Specifically, you'd have to dump Hebrews chapter 12 all the way for the first 13, 14 verses. It's like, really? You can't do that. You know better than that. You can't dump the Proverbs just because you don't like them. You can't dump the Psalms just because you don't like them. Here is the bottom line. When you anger the Lord, when I anger the Lord, instead of being children about it, the Lord is disappointed. Does he know it's going to happen? Sure. And that's why he's coordinated his discipline into our lives for when it does happen. But don't kid yourself. Let's not be three-year-olds about it. When we do something directly wrong before the Lord doesn't like it. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm not going to spin that. I'm not going to put something on there where, you know, but it's always roses. It's not always roses. When you do something really dramatically wrong before the Lord, he's going to let you know. Because a real good parent disciplines their children. Without discipline, you know what the children grow up to be? All this generation we got now with all these people in the media and in schools who don't know anything about life, and if something hits them the wrong way, they have a mental breakdown. It's like so ridiculous. That's what happens when you don't discipline your kids. You get what we got. Here's our society, a bunch of whinies. Like everybody's, I cannot believe that the lights are red, yellow, and green. That's so offensive. Okay. I got nothing. I don't have anything. You can't even, people, rubber ducky. You can't say ducky. Ducks have feelings. It's a rubber duck. No. Okay. This is what happens. Okay, look. Discipline matures us. And if you don't understand this, maybe I can say this in a better way. The reason that we don't do all the dumb things that we could do is because there are, ready? Consequences for our action. It's like, oh, so you have a responsibility. Yeah. Yeah. We don't get to do stuff and then pull off the Adam and Eve line. Adam, why'd you do this? She made me do it. God goes to Eve. Eve, why'd you do this? Snake made me do it. Nobody's happy. Everybody else made me do it. I'm not doing it. No, it's not my responsibility. It's like, look, take on personal responsibility. If you do something wrong and the Lord disciplines you, you should be thankful. Because if he doesn't discipline you, you're not his kid. Uh-oh. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 says, if God doesn't discipline you, you're not his child. Ow. If you don't punish, there's a problem. Okay. Do we have somebody that's going to try and answer the trivia question? Do they know it's tight? Okay, here we go. We'll do our best. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. Appreciate awesome. The prayers. They've carried me through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen, man. We're never going to stop praying for you, too. So you just remember that.
Amen.
All right. What prophet fleeing from Jezebel hid in a cave?
That was Elijah.
That is correct, sir. Elijah is the answer. One of his greatest moments, obviously, although a great illustration for how God communicates with us, even if you're at the top of the echelons of being close to God, still through that small, still voice. You know?
Amen.
It's like a wonderful, Amen. Wonderful thing.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Excellent job, my brother. You did a great job, and I appreciate it.
Well, I just wanted to fill in that little dead spot there for you to answer that question. It seemed like everybody must be napping today with all the rain we've had. So, but anyway, I appreciate you hanging in there, and we appreciate your love.
You got it. You got it, bro. All love right. you in the Lord.
You too. God
okay.
bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a break, then come back. Now, this is a lot of teaching. There's a lot of teaching going on today. You got to really listen. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend. On the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four Woo. Years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally. I'm sliding in under the tag, home safe.
You are finally. Safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I was just telling T, so this is so funny because they just, you know, have nothing to do with these plays that take place, these fill spots, and that was Ray, and Ray had just texted me 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. It's like, it's so weird when stuff like that happens. I know, it's coincidence, but you know what? I got to say this. This is kind of a truth. It's not that there's nothing that doesn't happen that way, but I didn't meet Mr. Coincidence, but I did meet Jesus. So, you know, that'd be kind of like where I go with that. That's just, you know, if it's a, you know, if it's that kind of thing and it's a blessing, it's most likely the Lord. Okay, here we go. A little tougher question. Now, I don't normally do the tough ones on the second one, but I'm doing it now. Who trapped 5 Canaanite kings in the cave where they were hiding? I will tell you it's Old Testament, and I will tell you it's in the first 8 books of the Old Testament. That doesn't mean it's in the 8th book. I'm just saying it's in the first 8 books. Gives you kind of a thing. Who trapped 5 kings? Was it 5? I guess it was. 5 Canaanite kings. If you're not sure, okay, look up Canaanite kings in your concordance. You see, that's a way to do that. So whenever you got a question, you're like, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. That's not a problem, okay? The answer to that is to hunt in the scripture to find it, because that's the best thing we can do is be hunting through the scripture. Okay, that's the trivia question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the call-in number. 214-210-8483 is the text-in number. There was somebody very powerful in Israel, led Israel. That's your kind of key. Led Israel, trapped 5 Canaanite kings in a cave. Okay, just think, you know, early on. Think early on. That's what you probably want to do. Okay, don't go far into Saul or David and stuff like that. All right, so we did that. I got very brief jokes, but first we got to do our website because I want you. We'll do it again. It's a good place to give. We're doing decent. I'm just telling you what's going on. We're doing decent. But we could be doing a little better, which is always true. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, I can always tell when I ask a tougher trivia question, because when they're easier trivia questions, I get like a ton of texts. And when they're harder, people are like, All right, I'll give you this last hint. It's in the first 6 books of the Bible. That's such a big hint. It's in the first 6 books. What great commander of Israel trapped 5 Canaanite kings in a cave? I'm leaving it there. Okay, I do have 3 more. Remember we were doing these funny things that were just like these one-liners? I got 3 more. Okay. Somebody's calling in. That's good. I'm going to do my 3. Just have them hold on for a second. I'll do my 3. These are 3 more very quick, very simple jokes, not for anybody to freak out about, or just relax and take a deep breath, and you don't have to, you know, okay. Question number one, why did Moses cross the Red Sea? To get to the other side. Okay. It's like the chicken joke. Okay. What's the difference between Jesus and pizza? Jesus can't be topped. Okay. Okay. Then this will be the winner. What's a missionary's favorite kind of car? A convertible. See? Because they convert it. All right. That wasn't bad. That's not bad. All right. Let's have this person answer. Go ahead and send it through. This is Dave's Nut House, Chief Nut speaking. Who am I talking to?
Well, it's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How you doing? That just means you're one of us. You know that, right?
How are you doing today?
Doing great. I am really, really doing good. Okay, so I did give a bunch of hints. This is a tougher one. Which major significant-y leader kind of thing trapped five Canaanite kings in a cave where they were hiding?
You know, I'm probably wrong on this, but is it Joshua?
That is correct! You are right! Wow. Excellent job!
That is a total guess.
That is a totally excellent guess. Joshua chapter 10, verse 16 through 27, that's where the five kings were trapped, the Canaanite kings. It's not that there weren't other situations, but that's where the five Canaanite kings were under Joshua. Excellent job. That, you get a brownie point for that one. That's a good one.
Thank you. And I would like to say I did like your jokes today. I thought they were funny.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You get, I'll send that $20 in the mail.
All right. Y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. That's right. People are like, what is wrong with you today? I don't know. It's Monday. I guess I think you get a kind of an excuse for a Monday, don't you? Is any day that's a Monday, any day that ends with Y, I should have an excuse for. Okay, we already did, but because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and exiled the people in Babylonia. However, King Cyrus of Babylon, during the first year of his reign, issued a decree that the temple of God should be rebuilt. So what I want you to catch is that, because if I read them together, then I don't get to break it down and give you kind of like the expository element. So in the discussion, it's understood that Israel angered God. They disappointed God. They sinned against God. They didn't keep his commandments. They didn't yield to him. They didn't honor him. They did things they knew they weren't supposed to do. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, they ate too many Snicker bars. They were doing things that were wrong in many different categories, of which would leave God as not being honored in their speech, in their actions, in their attitudes, and all of that. And God was mad. So he let him know he's mad. And Nebuchadnezzar took over. But this is the wonderful thing about God, and you have to remember it, and I have to remember it, and it's an important element. Even though God will discipline us, it's important to understand that when he disciplines us, his anger is perfect. It's not emotionally driven. It's not bent on revenge, retaliation, or anything along those lines. God allows his anger to direct into our lives so that we can mature, be stronger, be more astute, and be more connected and more Christ-like. And every time God disciplines, every time he pulls out his discipline rod of correction, he always, listen to this, he always rebuilds. The Lord has never made a correction in your life where he did not go to rebuild. There is nothing that happens in our lives that is void of that truth. When the Lord disciplines you or me through other people, through circumstances, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit goes, hey, this is you, you're not doing it. All of that is not so God can go, ha ha. It's so God can say, let's get back on track. Be- becoming more like my son, Jesus. And so what he does is he kind of breaks us down a little to do a little bit of the rebuilding process. I think many people would understand that from the potter example where we're being built and then the clay lumps over where when it shouldn't. And it's like, we'll just smush the clay down again and rebuild this again. And you think, well,
okay, but you know, if we're clay and God's the potter, then why isn't it his fault?
Because that's an illustration, and in real life, as clay, we're like clay that has life in it, and we get to make our own lumpy holes, and that's part of the problem. The God lets us. Not the problem, but that's part of the truth. And so because we make our own lumpy holes, he's got to go squish, 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 squish. Let's make it again. Squish, 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 squish. Going to keep doing that, are you? Squish, 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 squish. And it's like, and that's where you understand why pride is a bad thing. Because when people are going, when God's going squish, 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 instead of going, no, I am defiant, we should go, yes, sir. Right away, sir. As you say, sir. But some of us are like clay that tries to talk back. That's bad. What we need to be aware of is that what God allows in us in the sense of spiritual surgery is for the point of making us well. God is not doing what he's doing, allowing what he's allowing, letting you go through what you're going through so that you can be depressed. He's doing it so you can be blessed. Ooh, that's a good one right there. God's not doing it so that you'll be depressed. God's doing it so that you'll be blessed. Oh, man, I got to get somebody write that down somewhere. That's a good one right there, okay? He's not doing it so you'll be depressed. He's doing it so you'll be blessed. That's a bumper sticker for sure, right? Okay.
Sure is.
That's right. I need to get the rights on that. All donations made to He Must Increase. Oh, sorry. Okay, we're going to break here and then come back because that's how we do it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little
Tell
bit
me the
of,
show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness.
So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large. It's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. While the tea that I just sipped went down the wrong pipe. Just to see it. It's like... Okay, here we go. A little easier trivia question. What friend of Jesus was buried in a cave? That should be a little easier. What friend of Jesus was buried in a cave? I guess you know that one. If you think you know the answer, you can call in. If you've never called in, it won't hurt you. 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. What friend of Jesus was buried in a cave? You have to understand, buried is different than we think of it. You know, we always think of buried as 6 feet down. They had more of a mausoleum kind of mentality back then. Got the text here. We did that. We do have to do history. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing. Is there anything else I'm missing? Okay. Okay. I'm just going over my entire life that I can think of with you guys. All right, let's do it. You're going to love this. Okay, I'm going to love this. T is going to love this because this is something we like. Go ahead and do history, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, now, here you go. Ready? It's a couple of things that's National Day of. One that's rather funny is on Friday we talked about a joke about a VCR. Today is VCR Day.
Praise the Lord!
I thought that was just classic. But the fantastic thing about today, and I had some yesterday, is it's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. Come on. You can get 10 trivia answers right in a row, but it's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. So I'm just telling you right now, there's a standard here. That would be it. I don't even know if it's national, but it's Daniel Boone Day. And for those that don't know, Daniel Boone supposedly set his sights on the land that would eventually be Kentucky, I guess. And then it's National Thank God It's Monday Day. Somebody trying to turn around the harumphiness of a Monday, which, you know, is fine. You know, thank God it's Monday. But, I mean, TGIF. I mean, come on. Right? I mean, they don't have a restaurant. TGIM. Because if they did, they'd be serving borscht. That's very funny. Let's see. This I thought was classic. In 1967, on this day, the Six-Day War. Six-Day War began when Israel jets attacked and destroyed most of Egypt and Jordan and Syria's air forces. You know how long the Six-Day War was, folks? It was 6 days. That's why it's Six-Day War. Okay? All right. First woman to win a triple crown race, the first woman jockey to win a triple crown race, Julia Crone, riding Colonial Affair in the Belmont Stakes. This I thought was fascinating as can be. Youngest college graduate, 10-year-old Michael Kearney, received his bachelor's degree in anthropology at the University of South Alabama. 10 years old. 10 years old. I'm pretty sure at 10 years old, I was doing the cartoon world. I mean, I can't even imagine. It's just unbelievable. When Captain America throws his mighty shield. See, that's what I was doing when I was 10. That doesn't make me weird. It makes me normal. All right, here we go. Anything else? Covered it all. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Trivia question just one more time. What friend of Jesus was buried in a cave? If you know the answer and you want to come on the air, you can do that. If you call our number, what is our number? 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Again, never think it bothers me if people don't call it. That's fine. I'm going to say the answer one way or another. So totally okay. Okay, so watch this sequence. These are four verses in a row. We're in the third verse. It says, but because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and exiled the people to Babylonia. However, King Cyrus of Babylon, during the first year of his reign, issued a decree that the temple of God should be rebuilt. And so we just talked about, you know, God gets angry, but then he rebuilds. Okay, now watch this. Just follow the sequence and enjoy the moment. King Cyrus returned the gold and the silver utensils that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of Babylon. The first thing is that God got angry. The second thing, though, is that God, even though he was angry, God is gracious and he rebuilds. And now the third thing is God is returning, using King Cyrus, returning the gold, the silver utensils, and Nebuchadnezzar. And you might be thinking, well, does that mean God's going to return all of my financial things that have taken place in my life? No. But what it does mean is that God knows what the quality of life really is about. And people will say, and they dislike it when I say this, but it's still true. God can take 1 year in your life and make it like 20, or can make 20 years and make it like one. God can give you this quality of life. And people are like, well, no, you can't. You can't get any time back. It's like, that's not true. Joel even talks about God redeeming the time. The idea behind that is to understand that it's God at the center. So you think, well, I've lost many things. Me too. I've lost a ton of things. In fact, I was going through some material. I lost family. I mean, ad nauseum, like 43 years ago, 42 years ago, I lost probably 300 family members by making a decision to follow Christ. You know what I got in place? About 3 million family members. I mean, it was like, really? Yeah. No, I mean, really. God is able to bring it back. He's able to return it. And so there are things that you have lost. You know what? You have. But God is able to bring those back in a different way, in a different quality, in a different capacity. And people get really mad when I say this, but look, you can get mad as you want. But even in the situation with Job, his kids died, and the Lord brought back some of the kids. It's not those same kids, but he gave them additional kids. It's like, think of that. It's like, no, the Lord can bring back anything. Sometimes you and I, we've had to deal with a situation, you have to let something go. You ever had that happen? And you don't want to let it go, but, you know, you have to let it go. Well, God can bring it back in a different variety, a different form, or a different capacity that can fill that emotional void that you felt when it was let go. What I'm trying to say to you is that the solution has been, is, and always will be, in the Lord. It has a lot to do with you spending time with him. It has a lot to do with you spending time with his people. It has a lot to do with you having more of a kingdom mind and a kingdom heart. Sure. Doesn't mean you don't go to work. Doesn't mean you don't pay your bills. Doesn't mean you don't do laundry. But what it does mean is that you have something that many people do not. You have a reservoir of anointing and life-giving resurrection power living in you. And all of your circumstances are nothing compared to that, which I think we tend to think, well, the situation is so far beyond control. Really? God spoke, and there wasn't just an earth, there was a universe. I mean, have you ever done any of the, and I mean this in a nice way, not the astrology, but the astronomy, and looked at how some of these planets are and how big they are? I mean, our planets are all like, they're small compared to a lot of things in the universe. God did all that in one speak. You don't think he can speak to your life and say, we're going to change this. We'll bring all this back. And it's like, well, how is he going to do that? I don't know. And the one thing I'm trying to do is get away from telling God how to do things. I may ask him for things, but I got to stop telling him how, and I got to stop telling him in what time frame. Because that's just me being an idiot.
Lord, you need to do this, and you need to do this this way, and you do this this way. I just don't know if that's like a, and then it goes, joke of the week in heaven. Let's look. Oh, here's Dave. Here's what he has to say. And all the angels are laughing at me. So we can't do that. God will bring it back. He'll return it. What I'm trying to tell you is that which you think you've lost nothing. Because in God, there is everything. And whatever you've given up, he can replenish. And whatever you've lost, he can restore. And I think, but, you know, I was in such a close relationship, and then I did this, and I blew it. Well, God rebuilding you, and he will restore that communion, that fellowship. People don't quite understand this, but the temple in the Old Testament was a magnificent, fantastic. I mean, even the temple that they rebuilt doesn't compare, except there was this dude named Jesus who walked through it, and that made that new temple a trillion times better than the old temple. It didn't look that way, Dave. I know, but it didn't have God walking in the form of a man on the earth. Like when Jesus walked through the temple. And that's a much better temple. That's got God in it walking amongst us. You see that difference? But from the outside, it's like, no, that other temple was really big. It had a lot of gold. It had a lot of this. The had the lions on the chairs and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, well, that new temple that people weren't that impressed by had God in the middle walking around talking to people. Like, what? That's why I want you to understand that. It's a very important principle. I'm not trying to give you pie in the sky. I'm not trying to can't stand that stuff. God will allow his anger to direct into your lives in such a way as to discipline you. But he never does it to the point of abandonment. He does it so that you can be rebuilt and brought back. And when you're brought back, he does this wonderful thing called restoration. That's what God does. Okay? All right, trivia question. Who was the friend of Jesus who was buried in the cave? Answer, Laz. Our buddy Laz, Lazarus. Excellent job on everybody who answered that. Very, very good. Going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, our amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up, they're louder.
Ha ha ha!
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I'm just telling you right now, I love you guys. This last one, not easy. I know, but it's just, you got to have one of these. Got to have one of these. Well, we had another one, but this is another one. Who hid 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? I will tell you the answer is in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Who hid 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? Ooh, Jezebel trying to kill people. Okay, it didn't work out very good for her, did it? Okay. Okay, I already did that. I don't know why I'm holding that. That's the trivia question. If you think you know the answer, who hid, this is a good one, but you can go and you can find it. Who hid 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? And the answer is in 1 Kings 18. If you think you know the answer, call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Nailing it down early. Good job, my brother. Let's do our word of the day. This will be a Greek word. Let's try that. Greek. Okay. I really like that sound. It's cute. I don't know. All right. Remember Matthew 4:4, right? Where the tempter came to Jesus and said, If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Verse 4, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's something you need to catch. That word that Jesus used in Matthew 4:4 is rhema, not logos or lagos. I like logos. I'm from Detroit. Rhema, though, is the word in 4:4. He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, why is that important? Rhema is that which is said or spoken, an utterance in contrast to logos, which is an expression or a thought, a message, a discourse. Logos is the message. Rhema is the communication of the message. In reference to the Bible, logos is the Bible in its entirety. Rhema is a verse from the Bible. The meaning of rhema is distinct to logos, is illustrated for the reference in specific for scriptures, not for the whole or the entity. So when Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's rhema. Also, by the way, illustrating that individual scriptures are applicable for certain scenarios even outside of the general wholeness of Scripture. That's what rhema means. And there's many conservatives are like, no, 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 no. But these are the same people that say everything about Song of Solomon is about Jesus. And it's like, no, 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 no. You can't have it both ways. That's all I'm telling you. So I hate people like me. Yeah, it's okay. I love them all. Well, okay, most of them. Who hid 100 prophets in the cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? The answer is, I think I told the answer, is not giving you the answer yet, but the answer is in 1 Kings 18. Most everybody's getting that, so that's a good one. Got that. We're done with that. Okay, let me do the text. If somebody calls in, great. If not, I'll give it at the end.
I love this last little portion. These are four verses in a row, all out of Ezra. This is where Ezra's getting to be into that cooler part. And then Nehemiah does the same thing. So in verse 12, we talked about God getting angry. In verse 13, we talked about the Lord doing all that, though, for the purpose of bringing us back or rebuilding. In verse 14, we're talking about the return of things that the Lord brings back into our lives. And in the rest part of verse 15, it talks about the Lord, watch this, the Lord keeping our stuff safe. Did you hear that? Keeping our stuff safe. Okay? All right. Quick re-mention that Mark had sent a wonderful letter in. We had a chance to pray for Mark in the beginning of the show. So, Mark, if you're listening at any point, please check out the podcast at hemustincrease.org. We prayed for you and praying for you. What a blessing your letter was. I just want to thank you for that again on the air. Okay? Okay. Now, let's go back to the text. These items were taken from the temple and delivered into the safekeeping of a man named Sheshbazzar, whom King Cyrus appointed as governor over Judah. Listen to this. This is what's so cool about these four verses in a row. God gets angry, disciplines us, he rebuilds us, he returns things to us that we've lost, and then he keeps them safe. You see, if God is in control of something in your life, then he is the one that is able to secure it. And when we think we have control, we try to secure it. This is one of the big challenges in being a Christian on a day-by-day basis, everyday basis, in this world, in this society, in a prosperous society like America, regardless of all the yippity and the yappity and all the other stuff. We are very, very well off. You know, they say that people in our country, when they're poor, they only have one big screen. They only have three phones. They only have two laptops. I mean, that's just like, that's so weird. But, and as Billy Graham said, and rightfully so, if you are living in America, you are the rich man in the Bible, especially compared to the rest of the world. Okay, absolutely. But here's something you need to know and I need to know. The things that God has graced us with, the eternal things, the important things, are in his safe keeping. In other words, the things that we're laying up for heaven. Remember, we're supposed to lay up treasures for heaven, not on earth, but in heaven. The things that we have laid up for heaven are never lost. God guards them. Does that mean that God doesn't get angry at you? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that the things that you have done for the kingdom of God, the things you have done to the glory of God, the things you have done to bless others, being a part of that connection to the kingdom of God, that has never been forgotten. It will never be forgotten. It will never be lost. God will never abandon you in that process. You're laying up treasures in heaven. They are safe and they are kept, just like you are kept. You think, well, can I make so many mistakes that perhaps I lose my salvation? Anybody who loses their salvation, quote unquote, never had salvation to begin with. If you are a genuine Christian believer, you don't believe in Jesus one time, you don't just say yes once, a true person of faith in Christ says yes continually to Jesus Christ, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you really sincerely said yes to Jesus, you get bummed out when you say no. And what I love about it is, I've brought this point up 1,000 times. It's really, really a good point. People are like, "Well, I don't want to do something so bad as to do something to disappoint the Lord." You know, people that love Jesus, they care about that. People that don't love Jesus, they don't care about that. Do you care about that? That's a good sign you're one of His. I don't want to disappoint Him. I don't want to do wrong things. Right? Only believers think that. Non-believers don't think that. Okay. So sometimes when you sit there and go, "Oh, I'm doing that wrong," that's okay. That's almost a testimony for you to go, "Yeah, I am in. I am a part of this." Because you don't want to do it wrong. You want to do it right before the Lord. People who are not believers don't care.
Here's the thing to remember. God keeps you. And I will say, I won't tell you the whole story, but I had a little bit of a treasure box before I became a Christian, and my brother broke into it and stole my stuff out of my treasure box, and we got into this really big fight, and it was like just this, you know, this is when we were in BC before Christ, and the great thing about that is that whatever I commit into the kingdom of God, nobody can break into it and steal it, not my money or anything else. And it's like, I want that. I want a bank that can never go bust. I want an investment that never stops giving me a return. That's what I want. The best investment is the one that lasts the longest and gives the highest yield. That's definitely going to be heaven. There's no way around that. Right? I mean, just think about that. That's just such a wonderful thought. Lay up the treasures in heaven. You'll never lose them. I put stuff in my savings account only to find out a week later that my dog needs this, that, whatever. And then I watch the stuff go from my savings account to my checking account to the vet. It's like, what happened? What happened to that? That happens, I think, weekly. But the things that I lay up in heaven with God, that never gets taken out. I never run out. I mean, that's just cool. All right. What a fun Monday. I mean, most of the time, Mondays are a real... But today was fun. Again, shouldn't be depressed on any day that ends with Y. Our trivia question. I got to answer the trivia question, right? Okay, got it. Let me go back to my trivia book. I know the answer, but I just want to make sure. Amazing that I just... Okay, the answer to that question was Obadiah. Obadiah, okay? That was the answer to the question. Obadiah, he's the one that hid them. He was the one that ran into Elijah and was like, oh, I'm going to tell them they're there, and then you're going to disappear, and I'm going to get 86. This is bad. So keep that in mind as you move forward. The Lord will protect you. Who hid 100 prophets in the cave of Jezebel? Who hid them? And that was Obadiah, and he is in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, just to let you know. Fun Monday. Make it count. Stay strong and stay firm in the Lord. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.